Waikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Waikatra AI. Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling a giant, a book often called, well, the Bible of Investing.
That's right. We're diving into Benjamin Graham's classic, The Intelligent Investor.
And maybe the title sounds a bit intense, but our goal today is pretty simple, actually. We want to pull out the core framework, the mindset Graham offers for, let's say, long-term financial well-being.
Exactly. It's not about secrets to get rich quick. It's more about the intellectual tools and, importantly, the emotional discipline you need. We're kind of skipping the dense calculation to get straight to the wisdom.
Yeah, and what's really striking is how relevant this book still feels. I mean, it was first published, what, over 70 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
In this age of trading apps, crypto, constant news. You'd think maybe it's outdated.
You would think.
Yeah.
But the fundamental problem Graham tackles, it's timeless. It's us. It's human nature.
Meaning our emotions.
Our emotions, exactly. Greed, fear, the urge to speculate, making decisions based on headlines rather than analysis. Graham gives you a kind of mental shield against all that noise, the information overload that's just, well, everywhere today.
Okay, so it's about managing ourselves as much as managing money. Let's talk about the man himself then, Benjamin Graham.
Right. Benjamin Graham lived 1894 to 1976, widely and correctly called the father of value investing.
And he wasn't just an academic theorizing, was he?
Not at all. He taught at Columbia Business School, yes, wrote the seminal textbook Security Analysis there, but he was also a very successful professional investor running the Graham Newman Corporation. He practiced what he preached.
I think what gives his perspective such weight, though, is his personal history. He lived through the roaring 20s, that speculative bubble.
And then the crash, 1929, the Great Depression. He experienced it firsthand, navigated it professionally.
That's what you call a baptism by fire.
Absolutely. And it forged his whole philosophy. Very conservative, deeply focused on avoiding catastrophic loss, on protecting your capital above all else. He saw what speculation does to people.
And, of course, there's the ultimate stamp of approval.
Ah, yes. His most famous student, Warren Buffett.
Who called The Intelligent Investor.
By far the best book on investing ever written. That quote alone tells you something about Graham's lasting impact. He provides a philosophy that endures through market cycles.
Okay, so let's get into that philosophy. You mentioned it's not about getting rich quick.
No, definitely not. Think of it more as a manual for building discipline, for managing risk. Graham actually suggests that real investment success comes mostly from avoiding serious mistakes.
Not necessarily from hitting home runs all the time.
Precisely. It's about consistency and prudence. And that brings us right to a central idea, value investing.
Okay, define that for us.
It sounds simple, but it's profound. You buy security stocks, bonds, only when they're selling for significantly less than their, let's call it, intrinsic value.
What the business is actually worth, based on analysis, not just the market price tag.
Exactly. You're looking for a bargain.
Yeah.
You treat buying a stock like buying a piece of a real business, because that's what it is, not just a ticker symbol flashing on a screen.
And that gap, that difference between the calculated value and the price you pay, that's the protection.
That's the holy grail.
Yeah.
That is the margin of safety. Graham literally called these the three most important words in investing.
Why so important?
Because we're human. We make mistakes in our analysis. Businesses face unexpected problems. The future is uncertain. The margin of safety is your cushion. It protects your principal investment against errors and misfortunes. It's fundamental.
Okay. Now, Graham also knew that not everyone wants to or can spend their life analyzing stocks. He lays out different paths, right?
Yes, very clearly. He distinguishes between two types. First, there's the defensive investor.
Who's that?
This is someone looking for simplicity, safety, freedom from making constant decisions. They want decent results without becoming a full-time analyst.
Makes sense. And the other type?
That's the enterprising investor, sometimes called the active investor. This person is willing and able to put in serious time and effort, research, analysis, hoping for potentially better returns than the defensive investor.
But he warns you, right, if you choose that path.
You must do the work. Thoroughly. If you're not prepared for that deep dive, Graham says, you should absolutely stick to the defensive approach. No shame in it. Know thyself.
So the big shift he wants is moving us away from just guessing where prices will go, speculating towards being an intelligent investor who buys based on underlying business value.
Exactly. And the very first step in that transformation is mastering your own psychology.
Which leads us to one of the most famous parts of the book, Chapter 8,
yeah.
Mr. Market.
Ah, Mr. Market, it's such a brilliant analogy. Pure psychological insight.
Lay it out for us.
Okay, so Graham asks you to imagine you own a share in a private business and you have a partner named Mr. Market. Every single day, this partner comes to you.
Okay.
And he offers to either buy your share or sell you his. The catch. Mr. Market is, well, kind of bipolar, manic, depressive.
Right. So some days he's incredibly optimistic.
Euphoric. Sees only blue skies ahead. On those days, he'll quote you a ridiculously high price for your share.
And other days.
He's utterly despondent, convinced the sky is falling. On those days, he'll offer you his share at a bargain basement price, just desperate to get out.
So the point is.
The point is, you have the power. You don't have to trade with him. He's there to serve you, not guide you. The intelligent investor ignores Mr. Market's mood swings most of the time.
But you can use his moods to your advantage.
Precisely. When he's irrationally depressed and offering low prices, maybe you buy. When he's wildly optimistic and offering crazy high prices, maybe you sell. You focus on the real value of the business, not his daily emotional roller coaster. It teaches emotional discipline.
That makes so much sense. So mastering Mr. Market is crucial. What about the practical side for that defensive investor, the one who wants simplicity and safety? What does Graham advise?
He keeps it very straightforward. Primarily, it's about asset allocation, a mix between high-quality bonds and a diverse group of leading stocks.
And he had that famous guideline for the mix, didn't he?
He did. Keep your stock portion somewhere between 25% minimum and 75% maximum of your total portfolio.
And the default. The starting point.
50-50. Half stocks, half bonds. That's your neutral position. You'd only shift significantly from that if the market became, obviously very overpriced or extremely cheap.
That 50-50 split feels almost radical today, with so much emphasis on being nearly 100% in stocks, especially when young. Why so much in bonds?
Remember Graham's priority: protecting the principal. Safety first. Bonds provide stability, reduce volatility, and crucially, they generate income you can potentially reinvest, maybe into stocks, when the market does inevitably correct or crash. It's about building resilience against ruin.
Discipline over chasing maximum returns.
Exactly. And for the stock part of that 50-50, he has rules too.
Like what? Give us a few examples.
Okay, so for the defensive investor, stick to large, well-established companies, leaders in their industries.
Makes sense. Less risk.
Ensure you have adequate diversification. He suggested maybe 10 to 30 different stocks. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Okay.
Look for a level history of financial strength. For instance, companies that have paid dividends consistently for many years, say 20 years or more. That signals resilience through different economic cycles.
And crucially, valuation matters even here.
Absolutely. Don't overpay. He stressed moderate price to earnings, or PE ratios, and moderate price to book, PB ratios. Avoid stocks that are priced for perfection. For the defensive investor, the goal is dependability, not shooting the lights out. Safety and simplicity.
Let's circle back to that fundamental distinction Graham makes right at the start in chapter one, investment versus speculation. It feels like the bedrock.
It absolutely is. It defines the entire approach. Graham is very clear. An investment operation is one which, upon thorough analysis, promises safety of principal and an adequate return.
And if it doesn't meet all three?
Then it's speculation, period. He's not saying speculation is immoral, but you need to know which game you're playing. And importantly, don't confuse the two. Don't speculate when you think you're investing.
That requires real honesty with yourself.
It does. And beyond the rules, Graham also grounds the investor in historical context and the reality of inflation.
Right. Market history in chapter three. Why is that important?
Perspective. History shows that market extremes, wild manias, deep panics, they never last forever. Things revert. Knowing this provides the discipline to stay the course, to avoid buying high in euphoria or selling low in fear.
And inflation, chapter two.
The silent thief.
Hmm.
Graham reminds us that cash and bonds, while safer in the short term, lose purchasing power over time due to inflation.
But stocks can potentially keep up.
Generally, yes. Because good businesses can often raise their prices over time, their earnings and dividends can grow, offering a long-term hedge against inflation. This is a key reason why even conservative investors need some equity exposure.
Okay, so that covers the defensive side and the context. What about the enterprising investor, the one who's ready to roll up their sleeves? Where does Graham point them?
Towards areas where perhaps the market isn't perfectly efficient,
Yeah.
where hard work might actually pay off.
It could ask.
Well, one classic area is looking at large companies that are temporarily unpopular or out of favor with the market. Maybe they've hit a rough patch, the headlines are bad, but the underlying business is still solid, and the stock is cheap relative to its history or assets.
That sounds like contrarian investing.
It is, very much so. Another area he discussed was finding bargain issues. These are rare, but sometimes happens, stocks trading for less than their net working capital. Basically, the market values the company at less than its liquid assets, minus all debts.
Wow, like getting the operating business for free.
Kind of, yeah. Or looking into special situations, things like mergers, acquisitions, reorganizations, liquidations, where the outcome is more dependent on corporate events than the general market mood.
But all of these require significant effort, right? This isn't just glancing at a stock chart.
Oh, absolutely not. This is deep analysis, forensic accounting sometimes. Graham is adamant. If you're not willing or able to do that level of detailed work, stick to the defensive path. Don't dabble in enterprising strategies without the commitment.
That really underlines the core messages woven throughout the book. Let's talk themes. First one, the business owner mindset.
Yes, this is critical. Constantly reminding yourself. A stock isn't just a blip on a screen. It's part ownership in a real operating business. Thinking like an owner encourages patience, focus on long-term performance, and helps you tune out the short-term market noise.
Theme two, and this one is maybe counterintuitive for some, temperament trumps IQ.
This is huge. Graham insists, and Buffett echoes this constantly, that investment success depends more on your emotional discipline, your patience, your ability to resist herd behavior, than it does on having a genius-level IQ or some secret analytical edge.
It's about controlling yourself, not outsmarting everyone else.
Exactly. Your biggest enemy is often staring back at you from the mirror during a market panic.
Which leads right into theme three. Risk management is primary.
Always. Job number one is not losing money, or at least not losing catastrophically. Preserving your capital comes first. Chasing spectacular returns often involves taking spectacular risks. Graham flips that. Prioritize safety.
And the margin of safety is the tool for that.
It's the practical application of that priority, yes.
And the last big theme, bringing us back to our emotional partner. The market is a servant, not a master.
Right. Mr. Market's craziness, the market's inefficiency, isn't something to fear. It's the source of opportunity for the patient, rational investor. You use the market's quotes when they suit you. You don't let the market dictate your actions or your view of value.
Graham's writing style is so direct, it produced some incredibly memorable lines that capture these ideas perfectly. Let's touch on a few quotes. How about, "The intelligent investor is a realist who sells to optimists and buys from pessimists."
That's Mr. Market in action, isn't it?
Mm.
Be contrarian, but based on reality, on value. When everyone else is wildly optimistic and prices are high, the realist considers selling. When everyone is panicking and prices are low, the realist looks for buying opportunities. Act against the emotional extremes of the crowd.
Okay, and maybe the most famous one. In the short run, the market is a voting machine, but in the long run, it is a weighing machine.
Ah, classic. Short-term prices are like a popularity contest driven by sentiment, news, voting. But over the long haul, the market has to reflect the actual substance, the weight, the underlying economic reality and value of the businesses. Patience allows the weighing machine to do its work. Value eventually wins out.
Powerful image. And this last idea really sums up the psychological aspect. Graham said success requires a sound intellectual framework for making decisions and the ability to keep emotions from corroding that framework.
That's the whole game right there. Have a rational plan, understand your principles like value and margin of safety, and then have the emotional fortitude to stick to that plan, especially when things get scary or exciting. Your behavior is the ultimate determinant.
So this is all timeless wisdom, but how do we actually use it today? In 2024, with everything moving so fast, what are the practical takeaways?
Okay, probably the single most powerful thing anyone can do, inspired by Graham, is develop an investor policy statement. Seriously, write it down.
What goes in it?
Your goals, your chosen strategy are defensive or enterprising, your asset allocation rules, like that 50-50 target, your criteria for buying or selling. Think of it as your personal investment constitution.
And the point is,
when the market inevitably plunges or goes crazy high, you don't react emotionally.
Yeah.
You consult your written plan. It forces discipline when panic or greed are screaming at you.
That's great advice. For the defensive investor specifically, what's a modern, simple application?
Automate your investing. It perfectly fits Graham's philosophy. Setting up regular automatic contributions, dollar cost averaging into, say, a low-cost diversified index fund.
How does that align?
You're systematically buying over time, regardless of market level. You naturally buy more shares when prices are low and fewer when prices are high, without ever trying to time the market. It leverages volatility passively. It's brilliantly simple and effective for the long term.
Okay, what else?
Cultivate informational stoicism. Be deliberate about your information diet. Tune out the constant noise, the breathless hype, the fear-mongering from financial media. It's mostly designed to provoke emotional reactions, not informed decisions.
Well, focus instead on
longer-term data, right. Company fundamentals, annual reports, maybe. Things that reflect business reality, not just fleeting price action. Less screen time, more thinking time.
And one more. Applying that core concept outside of stocks.
Right. Apply margin of safety to life. Use the principle for big decisions. Buying a house. Don't stretch to your absolute maximum borrowing limit. Leave a buffer. Starting a business. Have extra cash reserves. Ensure you can withstand unexpected setbacks. It's just prudent risk management for life.
That's really practical. Looking back at everything we've covered, the thing that really jumps out at me is how much this is about psychology, about controlling yourself, not about complex formulas. It's about temperament, like you said.
It really is, and I think that's the ultimate lesson here. The Intelligent Investor isn't just a book about stocks. It's a manual for sound financial stewardship, grounded in timeless principles of prudence, discipline, and emotional control.
It gives you a way to navigate the inevitable ups and downs without losing your shirt or your mind.
Exactly. If you internalize the ideas of Mr. Market and the margin of safety, you build a foundation for financial resilience, no matter what the future holds.
It definitely leaves you thinking. You know, if Graham were writing today, with index funds so readily available, would he still push defensive investors towards individual stock selection? Or would he embrace indexing as the ultimate, simple, diversified, low-cost expression of his defensive strategy? Something to ponder.
A very interesting question.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.